God is good. God is good. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoyed Communion Sunday. And I was actually able to be here to the glory of God the Father. Lord transferred me again, thank the Lord. Gave me a, for those of you that don't know, gave me a store manager that's a Christian. And we got to talking Saturday night after work, and we got to talking about, you know, just things that we don't allow in our homes and things like that. And he goes, he's a Baptist brother, but you know what? I can deal with that. And he was a fundamental Baptist, and he goes to Ottawa. He was a fundamental Baptist that didn't think that you should have any instruments in church, any drums or anything like that. And we just got to talking about it, and I didn't leave there till about 10:40. So I called Heather just for, like, look, I was talking to my store manager. We got talking about the Lord. I lost track of time. And so God is good, because in the corporate world, we understand that those of you that are in the corporate world, that they make demands on us sometimes that are too demanding. And one of the demands recently is that we have to be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday till 7 p.m. or close. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm not closing on Sunday night. I need to be there then Sunday morning and Sunday night, both if possible. And I said, I'm not doing this. And so I went to him and I said, look, I'm going to close Saturday night, and my assistant's going to close Sunday night, and I'm taking off Sunday so I can go to church. And he said, if you got to do that, you have my 100% blessing. He says, you do it, you got to do. It's difficult to schedule yourself till 7 o'clock on Friday night. It's difficult to schedule yourself till 7 o'clock on Saturday night when they want you to close till 10 p.m. Two other nights during the week. So us produce managers got together and said, okay, those are going to be my two closing nights, Saturday night. I would do Monday night, but my assistant chose it, which is fine. So, but one of us has to be there. They're my assistant produce manager or the produce manager, but God is good, because the last two Sundays I've been here. And I don't know about y'all, but I need to be in church. I get drained, and I get weary when I'm out, and I have to go to God and say, God, you're going to have to revive me. You're going to have to refresh me. And I just depend so much on the Lord, because we're apart from him, the scripture says, we can do nothing. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for the privilege to bring your word, Father. What an honor it is, Father. Father, I thank you for this evening. Lord, let your word have free course out of my mouth, Father God. Just have your way. Whatever you desire to do at this moment and in this time, Father God, we welcome you in this place in our hearts to change us, to rearrange us, to reposition us, Father, if necessary. Father, I just thank you and praise you for this evening, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you tonight. It dropped in my heart on, I want to say, Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. And it just was one simple little phrase, the glory of the cross. Now, we hear about the glory of the Lord, and we hear about the glory and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we don't necessarily hear about the glory of the cross, because when you look at the cross, there's nothing really glorious to look upon. It's a piece of wood. It's straight up and down, and it's horizontal, and there's nothing glorious to look upon it. But there's something glorious about it, because it became a sacrifice for you and for me, so that our Lord and that our Savior could bleed and could die, and the blood could drip down the post, so that you and I could have the forgiveness of sins. There's something about the cross that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to come back to. We have seminars on faith, and we have seminars on patience, but we don't have a seminar on the cross of Jesus Christ anymore, because nobody wants to carry the cross. When Jesus was walking up the hill, they had to summons a man to carry the cross. There was no one to just take up his cross. They had to threaten a man in his life so that he would take Jesus' cross and take it on up the hill. But Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We need to hear the message of the cross again in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a dull message. It is not a negative message. It's the most powerful message that we could ever elaborate on. It's the most powerful message we could ever study on. It's the message of hope. It's the message of our Lord and Savior. How it is that we can come up with so many messages and yet not say what he says and not speak what he speaks. I don't understand it. but the glory of the cross. Galatians 6:14 says this, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." We've got people that they glory in their homes, they glory in their houses, they glory in things of this world. But Paul said, "I'm going to glory in the cross." Why? Because Paul knew that in glorying in the cross, he was glorying in his sanctification. He was glorying in his forgiveness. He was glorying that Jesus hung and bled and died on that cross for you and for me. And that it was God hanging on that cross that could bring us back to God. Adam forfeited, but Christ brought all of that admittance back to us. The scripture says Christ became our sacrifice. Christ became our everything on that cross. It was Christ on the cross that bled for you and me, where we can have our robes washed in the blood of Jesus and we can be white. How many people here have a driving record? How many have ever had a ticket? I know I have. Brother Mike raised that hand real slow. We've all had tickets. Guess what? That stays on our record for 3 or 4 years, depending on the ticket. But see, that's not like Jesus. When you get saved and you come and you surrender your life and your heart to Jesus, that record is cleaned immediately. You just take a blackboard with chalk on it. It just wipe it clean. That's what the blood of Jesus, that's what the cross did for you and me. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ did for you and me. It set us free. It liberated us. The glory of the cross. We talk about the glory of the Lord. But oh, without the glory of the cross, there would be no glory of the Lord. There would be no baptism in the Holy Ghost without the glory of the cross. When you look at the cross, you got to look at it differently. You don't just look at it through a religious aspect. Let God give you a fresh revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to take up our cross and follow Him daily. Not follow a church, an organization, a man or a woman, but follow Him, the one that bled and died for you. There is no man, woman, boy, or girl that has bled and died for you. Your friends will forsake you, but Christ will never forsake you. He will be there when you're at your lowest low, and He will be there when you're at your highest high. Christ, the hope of glory. If it had not been for Jesus coming and being born of a virgin, we wouldn't have forgiveness, my brother and sister. I love what our pastor said this morning, that before the foundation of the world, Jesus was coming to that tree. Jesus was going to hang on the cross. That was powerful for me, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but that just hit home with me because the Lord dropped this in my spirit Tuesday and Wednesday. I didn't even know what the pastor was going to talk about today. I love how the Lord sets things up, how everything just flows together. My brother and sister, we do not elaborate on what we're going to talk about. I don't even talk to them during the week unless it's via email to remind them, don't forget you guys are off this Sunday evening. That is the only time that I talk to them. It is by the Spirit of God that God sets these things up. It's not by anything else. If you're here tonight and you're hearing the message of the cross for the first time, I want your ears to open and I want them to tingle with a tingling because God wants to save you. God sent Jesus Christ to die for you, whether it was Doug or George or Brother Willie or Brother Terry. God died for every single one of you individually. It's a personal thing. Teenagers talk about getting out of my space. They don't like us to get into their space. I'm telling you, teenagers, you want Jesus in your space because He's the one that can change you. He's the one that can change your heart. Jesus will be there for you when your friends forsake you. I remember a time in my life when I thought I was the life of the party, and I was at a party way in Tampa, way off on Waters Avenue, and my friends left me. And I walked all the way from Waters Avenue all the way to Land O'Lakes because I had good friends. And I'm walking home and I was drunk as a skunk before Christ saved me. And how I got home, I still don't remember. It had to have been because of my praying mother, because I'd walk in the door. And every time I'd walk in the door, I'm like, Mama, go to bed, because I did not want to hear her praying for me because it convicted me. But I thank God that she did. I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for the prayers of my mother and father. Because I'm telling you, prayer is powerful. I'm here because of earnest prayer from my parents. They chose, the scripture says, will you not fight for your sons and daughters? We can fight for a lot of things, but there are things that are more relevant and that are more important to fight for than just fleshly things. They chose to fight. They chose to pray. They chose to fast. And because of that, God honored their prayer. Because I heard the call of God and I chose to answer it. There are many people that have heard the call of God. They've heard the message of the cross. They've heard the message of Jesus. But they openly, willingly choose to push it aside. And oh, how dangerous it is to throw that grace away. Because when you throw that grace away, you become under the judgment of God, the scripture says. Oh yeah, I know y'all didn't like what I just said, but I'm telling you the truth. When you reject this grace, you fall under the wrath and the judgment of God. There is no in between, my brother and sister. We're either for Him or we're against Him. I thank God that I believe most of everybody in here is for Him. And if you're not, I pray that you get on His side. When people get saved, man, when I didn't get saved, I didn't have to tell nobody I was reading my Bible. I just read it. I'm leery of people when they brag about how many scripture chapters they read, and they begin to brag about what they... There's nothing wrong with sharing. There's a difference in sharing. It's almost like somebody's got to prove that they're spiritual, that they've been forgiven, that they're living for Jesus. Man, just live for Him. You don't have to prove nothing to me. You've got to prove it to Him and Him alone. You don't have to prove nothing to the church. He's the one that bled and died for you. He's the one that saved you. He's the one you're going to answer to on that day. Not me and not them, but Him. It was Him that hung on the cross. It was Him that hung on the tree and bled for you and me. It's all about Him, my brother and sister. It's not about our problems per se. We have them. But Christ is the answer. Christ is still the answer. The cross is still the answer. First Corinthians 2:8 says this. You don't have to turn there. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? The enemy thought he won the day when Jesus was crucified, but he didn't understand the redemptive love of God, that was in God's plan the whole time. Jesus was walking on the earth, performing miracles, doing good, having compassion, having the children coming to Him and sitting on His lap. If the princes of this world would have known, they wouldn't have crucified Him, the scripture says. Why? Because in that bloodshed on that tree, we kind of have a little cross here, but on that bloodshed, as He hung and His arms are stretched out from the east into the west, as that blood dripped down that cross, that was the blood dripping and sprinkling the mercy seat. It was a replica. It was a replica, my brother and sister, of what God ordained when Adam was on the earth. But He had to send a second Adam because the first Adam blew it. The first Adam failed. Oh, but the second Adam did not fail. He came and He succeeded on the cross at Calvary. What's the old song say? At the cross, where I first saw the light. All my burdens, I don't remember the rest of it. But it was at the cross where I first saw the light. See, it's at the cross that we need to go back to. We've drifted from the cross. Now we've got programs and we've got everything but the cross. When I first got saved and I was doing youth, I couldn't do anything else but the cross. The Lord wouldn't let me have programs and go here and go there, and because I had to answer for what the Lord was telling me to do. And people don't understand that when God gives you an assignment, you're going to answer for that assignment. And many people said, well, why don't we do this, Brother Sean? And why don't, because the Lord didn't tell me to do it. The Lord did. There were times we went to Night of Joy and had fun, but there were times I remember this one instance, we went to this club in Clearwater. It was a quote-unquote Christian club, and I remember getting up, and I remember walking out, and I remember one of the youth pastors coming out and speaking to me, and I said to him in love, I said, look, there's nothing wrong with having a good time, but we're acting like the world. We don't need to act like the world. We need to act like our master. We need to mimic him. We need to imitate him. We would imitate him, some of the things that bother us wouldn't bother us. Thank you for the amens. Some of the things that get under your skin and get under my skin wouldn't get under our skin if we just mimicked our master and followed our master. And as we begin to have dialogue, I said, look, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I asked a simple question. Are they here for the cross, or are they here because of something fun to do? And we're living in a day and a time where men would become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's the time that we live in right now, my brother and sister. It's right now we live in that time. We have churches closed down on Sunday night when the Super Bowl is being played because men love pleasure more than they love their God. That's why we see more sickly in the churches. That's why the divorce rate is so high, because we don't mimic and imitate our master. We're too busy worried about what Brother Hoopendigger thinks and what Sister Sheila thinks. Was my dress okay today, honey? Then worrying about what God's word says to obey it. It's at the cross where I first saw the light, when my vision was clear, when I saw that I was a lost man damned on my way to hell. It was at the cross that I first saw the light, and I saw the redemptive, precious love of the Father redeeming me and redeeming you. It was at the cross. That's the glory of the cross, my brother and sister. Without the glory of the cross, there would be no Holy Spirit. There would be no Holy Ghost. It was all started at the cross. Beyond the cross, we have the Holy Ghost. But at the cross, we have God's love and God's forgiveness. And I'll take His love and His forgiveness, because it's in that love and forgiveness that I learned that I'm a scuzz bucket without His grace and His mercy. I'm a hunk of mud. You're a hunk of mud without His grace and mercy. But it was at the cross where you and I first saw the light. Do you remember that day? That pure day when your walk with Christ was pure. There were no distractions. Somebody in the church hadn't hurt you yet. It was pure. It was clean. But now you've traveled down the road a little bit and you've got some of those hurts. You've got some of those distractions. But Jesus said, it's still at the cross. It's still at the cross where we can see the light. We might not see it so clearly, but when we go back to the cross, our vision is cleared up. Sometimes our eyes are too dry. It's like if anybody wears contacts, you understand that when the contacts dry out, they become very blurry. It's very hard to see out of a dry contact. But when you get that re-wetting drop and you wet it and that contact becomes moistened, you begin to see clearly. That's what the cross does for the Christian. It causes us to see things clearly, what we're supposed to see. It's at the cross, my brother and sister. I can't get away from the cross. I can try to go any other way, but the Lord always brings me back to the cross, because it's at the cross that I find my forgiveness. It's at the cross that I find my hope. It's at the cross that we find our redemption. It's at the cross that we find our righteousness. It's at the cross, and it's not so much our righteousness as it is His that we put on. Scripture says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Oh, but when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, It's something totally different. When we begin to mimic Him, we love more. We have a little more patience for our brothers who might be a little bit younger than us in the Lord. And we can tolerate them just a little bit more. Because we see clearly at the cross. When we turn away from the cross, we give in to the flesh without realizing it. Scripture says, whoever you yield yourselves members to, obey his. Whoever you yield your members to, I forget the scripture, but the Lord will bring it back to me. It's in Romans, but his servants you are. Thank you, brothers. See, whatever we yield to, that's why it's so important to come back to the cross. Man, when I got saved, I got saved. I didn't want any more alcohol. I didn't want any more drugs. I didn't want cigarettes anymore. And it wasn't that I grew up in church or anything like that. It was God instantly took it from me. I remember the night. I came to church with my mom and did her on my birthday at 20 years old. It was March 17th. I forget the year, but I was 20. I was 14 years ago. I might be getting Alzheimer's disease. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Lighten up, y'all. Lighten up. It's not there anymore. It was a Shoney's restaurant. Now it's a fireworks place. But it was on Fowler Avenue when we were in Ditter's 4x4 big red truck. And I was sitting on the aisle and my mom was sitting in the middle or vice versa. But I remember we were getting ready to leave and, my Nana says, I want to pray for you. I'm like, no. Don't pray for me. Just let's go home. Well, you know how Pentecostals are. They're going to pray anyway. So she began to pray. And I had one of them blow pops they gave the kids. So I got the blow pop in my mouth and I'm sitting there. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm going to finish it. So I've got the blow pop in my mouth, and she begins to pray, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to convict me, and I fall under heavy conviction, and the lollipop just falls out of my mouth. And I'm just sitting there, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm done. I surrender. I give up. You win. I give up. And it was at that moment and that time that I said, I give up. I surrender, that He changed my life. Doesn't mean I haven't had my setbacks. Doesn't mean I haven't had my failures, but it was at that moment that I chose to follow Christ. And there are going to become times in your life at this instant where you're going to have to choose to follow Christ. Whether it be a family member taunting you or driving you nuts because you're wanting to serve Jesus and they're not. The Bible says the enemy shall be they of your own household, because light and darkness will always have a conflict. But you see, it's at the cross where we understand and we see clearly. We cannot get away from the cross. To get away from the cross in the church of Jesus Christ is like putting water in your gas tank instead of gasoline. Your car won't run. It won't start. I did it at 5 years old to my mom and dad's car. I know firsthand that I thought I was doing them a favor by filling up their gas tank with water. And I don't know why I'm telling on myself, but I am. I didn't know no better. I was 5 years old. I got that water hose, stuck it right in, and turned around. I said, Mommy, I put gas in the car for you. And my dad came home and grabbed me by the back of the neck and said, Son, I'm going to kill you. But he didn't kill me because I didn't know any better. I was five. But I know better now. I know better now. But you see, man has been given light. May not be a whole lot of light, but every man and every woman, every boy and every girl has been given a conscience to know good from evil and evil from good. But we're living in a day where men call evil good and good evil. We're living in a day where if you talk about the cross, some people would say that is evil. How something so precious and so holy and so liberating could be evil is beyond me. To talk against sin in the 21st century, they say, is evil, because you don't talk about sin You don't say the three-letter word in church because that's a no-no. Look, I don't care if we ever grow. As long as we preach the truth, God is going to take care of the rest. It doesn't matter to God to save by many or by few. I don't care if I'm never known. If all I ever am is a servant to help my pastor get some rest, that's all I ever care to be. Because I'm not looking for the glory of man. I'm looking for the glory of God. I'm looking to see His glory shine down on you and me in this little place. Whether it grows big or whether it grows small, it doesn't matter to me. But I want to see His glory. I want to be like Jesus and not make. I get upset with my wife and my mom when they tell people, because Brother Venable said I'm the associate pastor. I get upset when they do that because I don't want people to know. No, I am what I am by the grace of God, and I just want to do my part in the kingdom of God without any titles, without any recognition, because I don't want any pride to enter in. You say, Brother Sean, no, listen to me. I've seen it in people. I remember sitting in a Shambok meeting and a minister walked by me and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, he's got pride. And this man's a very well-known man. He's on the TVs. And I'm going to stop there. I could go on. And I said, Lord, help me to never become prideful. Because see, when Saul was little in his own eyes, it's when the pride came in and he thought he was hot stuff and he thought he was what was the head honcho. When he was little in his own eyes, he prophesied with the prophets. But when he became prideful, that was his folly, the scripture says. See, pride, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's why I get upset with my wife. And she was telling somebody at the I said, I wish you wouldn't do that. She goes, but there are no buts. Just don't do it. Just let them see God living in you and me. That's all they need to see. I don't care about the stinking title. Titles mean nothing to me without the cross of Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm getting older, I don't know. But the title means nothing. The title means nothing if we can't win people to Jesus. If we can't believe God to see our loved ones saved, means nothing. See, it's at the cross. When you begin to bow at the cross again, all that petty stuff doesn't matter. But what matters is what matters to God. And oh, that we would let God's heart beat from our heart. And the only way you can do that, my brother and sister, is to come back to the cross. And let His, look at this world through His eyes, and not my eyes or your eyes, but through the eyes of your Father. Amy Grant sang a song, and I don't agree with everything she's ever written, but she sang a song and wrote a song, My Father's Eyes. Oh, that we all had eyes like Jesus. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He saw them as a sheep having no shepherd. He saw no one there to comfort them or to lead them. Oh, that we would see this world through the eyes of our Master, through the eyes of our Savior, that we would see our loved ones through His eyes. Yes, the loved ones that get on your nerves, the loved ones that you just want to wring their neck, the loved ones, so you can see them through the eyes of Jesus. I came over here today to grab my 2-liter bottle of Coke that George always gives me a fit about. And as I did, Sister Ruth called me in there, and Sandy began to tell me of some personal problems. And she had told me something, and I know the enemy meant it to bat me and to hurt me. But you know what? I laughed at it as I walked over the portable. I said, you know what? I'm better than that. I'm better than, and I went over. She told me that her son Sean said he hates my guts. And you know what? That's okay. Because I know that it's light and darkness. I know that it's Christ and it's the enemy. There's a war there. So I went over and I got on my knees and I got on my face and I said, Lord, save that man. Deliver that man. Set him free from the yoke of bondage that he's under. And I said, Lord, give me compassion for him because I really want to go wring his neck. To be honest. I just would rather go wring his neck. But I said, Lord, he needs you. He's lost. He's damned. He's dying. He doesn't know any better because he's full of anger. He's full of wrath. He's full of malice. It didn't hurt my feelings. I think the enemy tried to hurt my feelings before service. It didn't. It backfired on him. And I begin to laugh and I begin to chuckle. And I said, you know what, Lord? It's at the cross. That's all. If you whatever the enemy means for evil, God will turn it for good. And there was a time that he needed some help, and I went and I helped him. And I didn't mention one word about Jesus. All I did was strap a strap to my truck, strap a strap to his car, and towed his car from Dade City back to Zephyr Hills. And Sandy says, how much money? I says, you don't owe me nothing. And see, people don't realize that there are times I'll do things, and I'll say, Lord, let this be a witness for Sean. Let this heap coals of fire on his head for all the things that he does to his mother. Because understand something. You can't hurt a Christian. You can't hurt a believer. You can't hurt a child of God. One that's following Jesus, you can't hurt them. They can hurt themselves by getting into anger, by getting into wrath, by walking away from the cross. They can hurt themselves. But as they continue to be at the cross and live at the cross. See, we don't live at the cross anymore. So that's why we hit the bumps in the road that we hit. Because we don't live at the cross. We visit it from time to time when we're in trouble. But we don't live at the cross. We need to live at the cross, my brother and sister. We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily, the scripture said, and follow him. Not follow the church or follow a man or a woman, but follow him. We need to live at Calvary. We can't get away from Calvary. When I get away from Calvary, I have a shorter fuse. I'm quick to spat off. I'm irritable. Boy, it's quiet in here. Look, this is the most powerful message to liberate us, is to live at the cross. Yes, it might hurt our flesh, but that's a good thing. Yes, it's going to be like a dagger to our heart, because it was to me, but that's a good thing. Because, see, it shows that there's a willingness for every single one of us in this room to live at the cross. We're not perfect at it, but you know what? God accepts that. He just wants us to be willing to try to do our best to live at the foot of the cross. We're not going to be 100% perfect, my brother and sister. If you think that, you need to give up now, because we are what we are by the grace of God. If we could live 100% perfect, we wouldn't need any grace, but we need his grace. His grace is sufficient. I'm Pentecostal through and through, but I need the grace of God. It's not of works, lest any man can boast, but we are what we are by the grace of God. The law of the prophets came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, the scripture said. See, Jesus isn't just a power man. He was a love man. He was a gracious man. He was a man that spat in a man's eyes, and his eyes were healed, and his eyes were opened. That's the man that we live in. He's a man that said, today this scripture is going to be fulfilled in you. That's the Jesus that we live. Don't look at the pseudoism that you see out there in the 21st century. That's not the Jesus, but the Jesus that was meek and lowly and made of himself no reputation and was willing to help anybody and pray for anybody and deliver anybody. He healed on the Sabbath, and it drove the religious crowd nuts, because he healed a man on the Sabbath. And yet he said, the works I do, you shall do, and even greater. And I believe some of the works we don't see is because we don't live at the foot of the cross. We visit it when we get in trouble. We visit it when we need a healing. But we don't live at the foot of the cross. And I include myself. But oh, I want to. Because when we live at the foot of the cross, we're different people. We love differently. We just bubble over with love and with joy one for another, because we're receiving his love. So what we receive freely, we just want to give to somebody else. We're kinder. We're tender-hearted when we're at the foot of the cross because we know we didn't earn this. You can't earn God's love, my brother and sister. You can't earn His love. You've got to stop that. You've got to stop it. Maybe you're in here tonight and you had to earn people's love and you had to earn people's affection. You do not have to earn God's love. You do not have to earn God's affection. He loves you with an everlasting love. When He was on the cross, you were on His mind. Each and every one of you, at the sound of my voice, were on His mind. But we get busy in life and we don't pick up His word because we're busy. Boy, this is hitting close to home. But you see, we've got to pick up His word. Jesus only asked us for an hour to pray. But I'm telling you, when you get to praying and you get to seeking God, before you know it, you're going to be lost. And 2, 3, 4 hours are going to go by. When you're in His presence, there's nothing like it. We all know there's nothing like being in His presence, but we all struggle to get there throughout the week. And God wants that to change because God has divine appointments for each and every one of us in this room. And there are going to be some divine appointments that's going to need the divine God intervention. And it's at that divine God intervention because we've been at the cross, the foot of the cross, seeking His face and not the glory of us or the glory of a body, but the glory of the Lord and the glory of His cross. Paul said, if I glory in the cross. See, he didn't glory in the revelations that he had. He was caught up into third heaven and he didn't glory in those things, but he gloried in the cross. And oh, my brother and sister, we needed to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if we can just glory in the cross, it's going to change you and me forever. Not that we're not changed now, but there's going to be a dimension and there's going to be a realm in our Christian walk that we've not yet touched and we've not yet hit, that we've all desired because we live at the foot of the cross. But it's at the cross. There is no other place. You can't go to Tulsa. You can't go to the Potter's House with T.D. Jakes. It's at the cross, my brother and sister. You can't go to the Revival Center over here with Rodney Howard Brown. It's at the cross. It's nowhere else but at the cross. God can meet in those places, but it's at the cross where we find our true forgiveness. It's at the cross when we understand about His redemptive love. It's at the cross. It's at the cross. You can't get away from the cross. When we get away from the cross, we wind up in a pit. We wind up in trouble. Every time I get in trouble, it's because I've gotten away from the cross. But every time I stick close to the cross and close to my master, I don't have to worry about a pit. Flies don't land on a hot skillet. But they do land on that that's cold. You ever see vultures? Vultures don't have a sense of smell, for those of you that don't know. Vultures can only see that that's not moving. When we don't sit at the cross, we become idle. We're not moving. God forbid vultures fly over us, spiritually speaking. God created the vultures. We've moved, and as I was on the way to work the other morning, I saw vultures on the side of the road, and it looked like a doe, probably 2 years of age, got hit by a car, and a doe was on the side of the road, and the vultures were eating the carcass of the doe because that's what God created them to do. But they don't have a sense of smell. The doe wasn't moving. They saw that it was dead, so that's recycling God's way. That's how We don't smell the stench of animals because God took care of that. He's an awesome God. Awesome. Awesome. I'm not going to read that. Would you please stand? It's at the cross, my brother and sister.